Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So we started talking about the testimony of Jesus in the first service, and we said the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We just try to build up a little bit, and trust God to finish up. So remember our test in the first service was the test. Revelations 19 from 9 to 10. It's good to have scriptures offhand. So let's start from there. Revelations 19, 9 to 10. So let's read one to go. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to. And he said to me, these are the true saints. Now, I just remember I didn't even explain something here in the first section. Can you remember? Because I asked, I said there will be two questions in the heart of people who are familiar with the New Christian Realities teachings. What are those two questions? Next part of scripture will affirm it. The next part of scriptures. I said, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what are those two questions? Can you remember now? Said fellow servant, that struck our heart. Number two, does he mean equality? You know, is the angel saying he's equal to man? And what's the second question? Does he have the testimony of Jesus? Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't want to even disturb our minds for us to go in the Greek. There's a way we can just understand it. So let me try to answer those two questions. So start from Revelations 1 and 1 in the Amplified rendition. Or probably leave it in the KJV, 1-1. Let's read 1-1. And everybody read together, want to go. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things that must shortly take place. And he signed and signified it by his angel. Alright, so he signified it by his angel. More like something signifying something. Alright? So let's see things that signify a lot of things in the book of Revelation. Can we mention? Seven candlestick. Mention, if you've read the book of Revelation, mention those scary things where beasts, trumpets, There was a bowl of fire in the book of Revelation. I can't remember. There should be, she said. What? Serpent. Yes, that old serpent. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a dragon. What else again? Four living creatures. There was one picture of something that had the head of this, the head of that. So it's not looking one kind. You know? One had the head of a man, the head of a beast, the head of a... Hallelujah. So they were just signified. Are we together? Remember one of the interpretations, the seven candlestick represented what? The seven spirit of God. Isn't it interesting that the candlestick represented something? The trumpet too represented something. The trumpet being blown. Alright? Doesn't mean we should blow trumpet in church. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Or shofars. Is it shofars they call it? It doesn't mean we should blow it. Are we together? And a lot of things. Now, it doesn't mean you should draw a creature with four heads. They all had meaning. Remember, book of Daniel, it kind of gives us an idea. In Daniel 7, he said, then the four beasts represented the four kings of the earth. Is it not interesting that the beasts represented human beings? So it is. You must understand the style of Bible writing. You don't just give it a meaning. Are we together? You know, the part of the Bible that says in the book of Revelation, the one social number of people that will be in heaven. So it's 1,000 and something people that will be in heaven. That, of course, that's not true. They are all signifying something else. If it's 1,000 and something, how many will come from Africa? How many will come from Nigeria? How many will come from GCMI? Me and my wife. And my baby. And the rest of us will see how we can do it. We'll play a game. So they signify things. Now the Bible is saying the angels cannot give literal meaning. They pass message in terms of symbols. Are we together? They can't give specific literal messages. Whatever they are giving is in terms of symbols. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are you people understanding what I'm trying to say? So when he said he has a testimony of Jesus, it doesn't mean he understood the meaning of what he was presenting. It was probably sent to take to show John items, and John will receive the meaning from the Holy Spirit. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Talking about fellow servants now. Fellow servant does not mean equality with man. Please pay attention. I told you you must be interested in understanding the Bible. Alright, because after learning this, you're supposed to pass it to your children and children's children. Are we together? When he said fellow servant there, he didn't mean equality with man, because the scriptures cannot be broken. Scriptures cannot go against itself. Amplified rendition of Hebrews 2 and 7. Let's read together. Hebrews 2 and 7. Everybody focus and read Hebrews 2 and 7 in the Amplified rendition. One to go. You have made him for a little while lower in status than angels. Stop. So for a little while, man was lower in status than angels. For a little while. Other renditions say things like for little lower. And of course, viewing from the way it's written, it's confusing to say something is little lower. How little lower is it? And I don't believe God will cause such a confusion in scriptures. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So what did we have to do? Go to the original, see from context. Isn't it? See original root word, see from context. Borrow different translation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So that we can gather the meaning. Now if you look at the scripture from context, there is no way the scripture will conclude saying we're a little lower than angels because of what it has been saying from verse 1. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You can see the comparison of the old age, the new age from verse 1 down to, I think verse 5 said he has not subjected the word of Christ, the one we speak about, in subjection to angels. It gives you kind of an idea that there was a world in subjection to what? Angels. But this world right now in the New Testament is not subjected to what? Angels. So if he says this kind of thing, in fact, the next part of scripture now says, one of the angels says, who is what? Man. Who is man that thou be mindful? Movement. Who is man that thou be mindful of him? One of them is definitely the devil. Are we together? He said, who is man that you are mindful of him? He said, you have what? Crown him with what? Glory and honor, and set him above the works of your hands, including the angel there included. You see that? So there is no way the angel will be perplexed about the nature of man, how God loves man, and suddenly the Bible is saying God made him a little lower than angels. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If we are lower than angels, they will not be surprised. But because we are far greater than them, they are what? Surprised. Now, view that word servant. He said, I'm your fellow servant. There are two ways I would have viewed this thing, but I'll just leave it in the second way. There are two ways I would have viewed it. I wanted to tell you that if you die today and go to heaven, your function will be like an angel. You'll just be there. You will not be able to express your true nature and identity in heaven. You'll just be there waiting. For a believer who dies and goes to heaven, he is waiting in heaven. There's nothing to explore in heaven. Whatever you are supposed to do with heaven's glory is on the earth. It's supposed to be on the earth. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on the earth. So if you get there and you are not there, you're going to wait. You will wait for the parousia, the second coming. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? That point, God will establish the kingdom's reign on the earth as it is where? In heaven. And you will rule on the earth forever. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Because God doesn't change. What he wanted in the beginning must happen at the end. That's his character. Alright? So I would have said, but I'm not saying, but I'm still saying, that if you go to heaven right now as a believer, you are actually what? Going to wait. And function like an angel probably. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? By functioning as an angel, I don't mean God will be sending you to the earth to come and see your family and tell them something. You did not hear that one from my mouth. I never said anything like that. Are we together? So that's one way I wanted to see it. But more vividly, I think that this part of scripture simply means, now if we say we are servants of God, it's not bad. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If we are servants of God, it's not bad. And they are servants too of God. But if both of us are servants, it doesn't mean we are mate with the angels. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Inside servant, there is servant. We are servants of God, so they can serve God, but they are still serving us. Because God is the chief commanding officer. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So I just want you to see it in these lighter notes and not really disturb your minds. Does it make any sense to you? Alright, because scripture cannot be broken. Alright, so we've seen that. But our focal point in this part of scripture is that the testimony of Jesus is supposed to be the spirit of prophecy. Because Jesus is the light of life. He is the light of life. He's the way life should be. He's the way life should be. That's why the Bible says the testimony of Jesus. If you look at the initial part of scripture before that, the angel of the Lord says, write. So he's talking about God's word. Even though he doesn't have a literal, open meaning to it. But it's God's word he's speaking about. And he said, God's word is the spirit of prophecy. Life is supposed to be according to God's word. Are we together? Everything in this world is supposed to happen according to God's word. And who is God's word? Jesus Christ. Who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In fact, the first light God declared in the beginning is Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why the Bible calls him the firstborn of all creation. Let there be light. And there was light. Are we together? He then becomes the light of life. Through which God made everything. The Bible says by him all things were made. And that there was nothing made in this world that was not made through him and by him. You see that? So indeed the testimony of Jesus, the revelation of Jesus is a prediction for life. It's the way life should be. That simply means whatever I cannot find in Jesus, I should not find in myself. Period. Are you following me tonight? Whatever I cannot find in Jesus, I should not find in myself. Now, the Amplified rendition, we start from verse 7. Of Hebrews 2. Somebody is wondering, Pastor, you said whatever we don't find in Jesus we should not find in ourselves. But we don't see that at the status quo. He said, you have made him for a little while lower in status than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him above the works of your hands. Next part of scripture. It says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, confirming his supremacy. Now, in putting all things in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. But at the present, we do not see all things in subjected to us yet. So God has said everything is subjected to us. Meanwhile, at the present, we may not see all things subjected. We may still be sick. We may still be in lack. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Remember, I told you there are two styles of writing in Scripture. Nurture and nature. Talking about the new creation. Some writing are more like nurturing you into that supposed nature of the new creation. So you look at some past Scripture, you are wondering, am I this? No, they are not. That is a writing to nurture you into it. And I spoke about the nature. At some point you look at it, for instance, 1 John 3 and 9, it said, they that are born of God cannot sin. That's your nature. Then you see a part of Scripture that says, I have hid his word in my heart that I may not sin. Nurture. That's how not to sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You see a writing that said, praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. So what are we building up to? That's nurture also. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Now you read another part of Scripture, 1 John 3, 6, it said, if we know him, we cannot sin or continue on our sin. That's nature. In fact, we can call that nature and nurture at the same time. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Paul is saying that all things are subjected to man, like it was subjected to Jesus. You know, we got this from Jesus. He said, all things are mine. Bible said, by him all things were made. Everything is under Jesus' control. Isn't it? And yes, the Bible is still saying everything is under man's control. Because Jesus is the standard of our lives. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
You have put all things in subjection under his feet, confirming his supremacy. This is an angel saying this. Now in putting all things in subjection to man, he left. Now we left that angel's part. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Remember, verses say one. You don't need them to tell you. Because if you look at verse 5, let's see verse 5. I've done this several times. It was not to angels that God subjected the inhabited world. Now, Amplified added of the future. Of course, from their time, maybe they were predicting that. But of course, we're talking about the reign of Christ. About which we are speaking. Next part of Scripture. So, verse 6. It then says, but one. What did we start with in verse 5? Angels. But it was not to angels. But one. Who the hell is the one in this part of Scripture that we've been reading? Of course, one of the angels. So the angels kept on speaking. Down to 7. I said, from what we're observing, you have made him for a little while lower in status than the angels. But now you have crowned him with what? Glory and honor. And set him above all the works of your hands, including us. Next part of Scripture, he kept on speaking. One of the angels. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Confirming his what? Supremacy over everything that you've made. Now in putting all things in subjection to man, we've forgotten the angels now. We're still right. The writer has continued. Are we together? He left nothing outside of his control. Did you see that? And us, man is supposed to be in charge and control everything. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let him have dominion. Total supremacy. Glory to God Almighty. We're supposed to have total supremacy over the affairs of life. The Bible says he brought all the animals to Adam. Somebody say, what of God? What of God? If we're supposed to have the database for controlling the world is what God gives to us. We are receiving order from God. The order is not of ourselves. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? He has become our civilization. He is how we view life. Whatever decision we make is what he wants to be made. He flows and lives through us. He rules the affairs of life through us. That's the design from the beginning. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let man have dominion. And I always say, the man that shall have dominion is the man in God's image and likeness. Because when God created the form of man and put man inside that form and put man in Eden, in Eden, hallelujah to Jesus, then there was more like an algorithm of how man will come into the supposed reality in Genesis 1:26, which is dominion. What was the algorithm? Eat from the tree of life, eat from food, do not eat from the wrong tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But man ate from that wrong tree. And what happened to man? He died. What was death? He started viewing life from what? Carnal perspective. Started seeing himself from his fall, form. He had a wrong definition about himself, and that cost him everything. If you have a wrong false identity about yourself, you lose everything. You become anything because you don't have direction again. People that don't know themselves, they don't even know what they are doing. Today I want to be a doctor. Tomorrow I want to be an architect. Next tomorrow I want to be a civil engineer. Anyone that works, we study. In fact, some people, their life, is at the mercies of the systems of this world. They will write jam and apply different institutions with different course. What do you want to be in future? I don't know. The university determines. In fact, some that know, the university now change it for them. You see, even if you study any course, you are supposed to still know who you are, who God has called you to be, and what He wants you to do. The course should not get you to be on focus, to miss what God wants you to do. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Don't live your life at the mercy of any university or system. I want to study law. God told me I should work in the law firm, law sector, blah, blah, blah. And as you put law, they give you philosophy. Then now you are a senior philosopher. And you are bragging that this is where you ought to be. In fact, some try to make it spiritual. Said, God know where He puts me at. Probably I'm supposed to be a philosopher. You are supposed to know from the beginning. When life do like this and put you there, say, it is God that wants me there. The Bible says we should control everything. Are you listening to me? Control it. He brought all the animals to Adam. Whatever name Adam gave them, God said, wow, that's their name. Impressive. Just the way I wanted it to be. God speaking to Adam. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. The only thing God did not allow Adam to do is what most men want to do today. He didn't allow Adam to create his wife, to determine how his wife will look. God did not do that. Adam was in a deep sleep. Somebody say deep sleep. Very deep sleep. God knew why He put Adam in a deep sleep. Lost consciousness of himself. Blah, blah, blah. And God took something from him to make the woman become his best helpmate. The word there is Isha. Best helpmate. Something like, you know, carry two things and join together and they are able to stand. Maybe I carry two books and put like this. They are able to stand. Both of them are supporting each other. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Amen. You know, some people, when they read that part of scripture, they say that same word is the one the Lord used when He said He will send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be our helpmate. See, listen, don't think you are now the Holy Spirit. Because some of you are not taking it too far. They say, we are as powerful as the Holy Spirit in the life of men. Who told you that one? It's just a coincidence that and your own is not like the Holy Spirit one. So don't think, you know what the Holy Spirit is. You will not come and make us and direct us. That's why they are directing some men. And the women that are happy like that are the ones that want to control men. How can you compare yourself with the Holy Spirit? Who are you? You are Isha. You are just coming to me. Do you understand? You are not answering me. Do you understand me? Because I saw one video, women were like, they were feeling filled with the Holy Ghost. Said, wow, I feel the anointing. We are the Holy Spirit. We are like the Holy Spirit in their lives. Son, Holy Spirit, help us see. Help us know. Help us predict the future. So we're like, how many of you have filled the Holy Ghost? He does almost everything. You are just watching. Do you understand? So you are doing everything. We're watching. You cook. You work. You have bring money inside the house. They will say all those things, but when it comes to providing, they are not the Holy Spirit. They are not like Isha again. The Holy Spirit type of Isha. So you should not take it that serious. It's not that serious. Amen. I was now saying, God caused man in a deep sleep. You know why? If He had allowed Adam to choose how his wife should be, Adam will never fulfill dominion mandate. Imagine God tells all of us here to create our wife. Imagine God's giving you the privilege, says, take sand. God says, Pastor Peter, this is the spirit of your wife. It has no form. God now says, Pastor Peter, but this is sand. Create a form for that spirit. Maybe God wouldn't tell Pastor Peter, this spirit quality is 100%. But this form, the real form for her is 100%. This fake form for her is 50%. Pastor Peter, which one do you want? Do you know some men who think 100% form they don't want? 50% say, God, it's spirit that matters, isn't it? Most people saying that God doesn't give a wife, it is because they married in the flesh. They want to have an opinion of who to marry. And most of the times, that confusion is because of the flesh. If it's because of the spirit, every man will marry anybody. It's because of the flesh. You just wake up and say, well, you're born. Oh, God. No, 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 no. And you see some of them following people who they are not supposed to have anything to do with in this life. They are following them. You know, one time I was counseling one very quiet boy. Very quiet and kind boy. He now told me he had a problem with his relationship. So while I was counseling, I said, can I see the lady? Oh my God. You need to see this lady. When I saw the lady, I don't know if it's right to say it this way. But there's this word we use on social media, body. This guy is a revivalist by facial appearance. He looks like the God's generous. The way he even moves. Do you understand? Who do you you see the body? And I said, is this somebody you are trying to lead to Christ? He said, no, sir, it's a lady. I said, you choose this lady. He said, yes, sir, I like her. I said, you did not see people like you in church. I've been seeing that. I don't know why people that are that holy looking and revivalist looking always like bodies. Then bodies like church boys. That thing is Satan oriented. So I told him, I said, but honestly speaking, if you want to go far in these things of God, you don't need this problem now. You know, those days one of my guys called me, one of my boys in Lagos, he said, sir, very baby's voice. Sir, I think I've seen the one I will marry. I'm in love. I said, so have you finished my assignment? He said, yes. I said, God bless you. Bye-bye. He said, sir, you didn't know yet. I said, bye-bye. You will soon break up. And I ended the call. He has broken up. Because I know it will not last. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's just youthful. So God calls man in a deep sleep. Somebody say deep sleep. That's the only thing God did that was very different. Because God knows the best for you. He took her from his ribs. That doesn't mean that we don't have ribs. Do you understand? God took. What God is trying to say is that your best, how will I call it now? The best person that is compatible for you. And that's what he's trying to explain by saying, taking. It's not like my ribs is in anybody's heart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you talk like that now, some people that want to marry, they don't look like their ribs is the same. If you check the size and measure, imagine the lady I want to marry is the height of Pastor Peter. And then check, see his ribs now. It's just, my own eye is like double of his own. It cannot be my ribs that is here. I mean, God caught the ribs and kept me apart here. That's not what it means. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But the idea is that God took your best match. He created your best match for you. And when you wake up, the flesh will want to make you pick another person. Adam's bone of his bone, flesh of his. That's why when he woke up, wow, woman, she's the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. He just knew, but he did not determine. You know, the problem right now is that many people have seen plenty Eve on the earth, so they are not choosing their kind of Eve. Adam didn't have that problem. He just had one Eve, boom. So there was no option. But you've grown seeing different Eves. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And there's a particular kind of Eve or Adam you want. But listen, God just has one person for you. Sit down. And God knew that for Adam to do what he wants Adam to do, he needs a helpmate, an Isha. Somebody that is compatible with. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? When God said it's not good for a man to be alone, he's not saying everybody should just go and look for a wife and marry or husband. No. He's saying go and look for somebody compatible with you, else you will get married and still be single. Many people who are married today, some of you have heard it, they feel single. You know, some counseling thing, I cannot be bringing it, but let me share one. Somebody came and said, are there small children in this place? If you don't understand, don't ask for any. Nobody should explain these things I'm going to say to anybody. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If you don't understand, God does not want you to understand. So you don't say, neighbor, please, what the pastor? Don't ask anybody. If you know, you know. Now, he came to my office and this was his complaint. Guess what? My mouth's not fit on this one. You know, you say when I was teaching that wedding in Abuja, I said to them, I wish they wouldn't stream. I said, I'm going to mention 5 points. The last point, I'll just mention it and go. So I mentioned all the points. And the last point, I said, romance. I said, the Lord give everybody understanding. And I ended the service. So let me try and say this thing. The man of God said to me. And he's a man of God. It's not like he's a man of God. He says, sir, I don't know why. I've kept myself for years. And I married. I thought that now that I've married, all the things I could not do in my head, I should be able to do with my wife. But sir, my wife does not like those things. Like I like it. Pastor, what should I do? Where will I start from? Will I now call the wife and say, in the name of Jesus, take! Begin to like those things. That's a very terrible situation. He said, one of the apostles counseled them, advised the woman. The woman will say she will change. She will go back and still warn him. Warn. Then he now said to himself, if I cheat now, I'm a man of God. According to him, he said, in fact, Pastor, the reason I've not cheated is because people know me in this city. If I try anything, it will fly. That sometimes I'll be walking, I will try. God will say, should I? See, Pastor, in my heart I've cheated since. And if I go to hell, my wife made me to go to hell. I'm serious. That's what he was saying. I looked at him. I didn't know where to start from. I said, you say your pastor have explained this to you. I said, yes. I said, wait, you mentioned people that are top. I said, what those people spoke to you? I said, me now if I speak, what will happen? I said, man of God, pray. Is it pray for, is that the pray for what? I said, just be praying for God to touch your heart to like it like you. That case now, I don't know how it's going. But if you're in that kind of situation, what will you do? And he said some confession. He said, when he wanted to marry that girl, even the night to the marriage, he was not having peace, but she was so fine. That was the kind of lady he always wanted to marry when he was growing up. I said, he said, there's one that was dying for him, he said. That in fact, he was even playing with that one, just mocking her, kind of. But he will still be dreaming that he married that one. But he will still be canceling the dream because he wants to marry this one. And be consoling himself with scriptures, prophesying. And that one now married. And she probably is supposed to be his wife. That will give him anything he wants in this world. But see where he is. You know, sometimes things like that happen. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? God forbid, but imagine Not like us that are eunuchs. But imagine you are in such a case. No, I can't be in such a case. If I have such a wife, will I not be happy? Because I'll face the work of God. But imagine you, the fellow brethren, are in such a situation. You know, somebody like me now, when I was telling my wife that night in their house in Abuja, what were we speaking about that I said those words? Can you guys remember that night? That I was talking about eunuch in their house at Meitama. You forgot it. I don't know what she was trying to ask me about. It's about the wedding, something, something. And I said, no. Okay. She said something about celebrating something, something. And I said, no, how can I be Bachelor's Eve. They went for Bachelor's Eve for Pastor Benson's wedding. So while he was about to go, my wife now said, Pastor Simon, you did not, what did you do Bachelor's Eve? And I said, no. How can I do such a thing? Because that night, we were mourning with the angels. And they were losing somebody into another kind of life. The angels wanted me single. And they were enjoying me in heaven with the... Do you understand? They were losing me. Not completely, but you know. So I said I could not try that. I was having my time with the angels. One of our last moments together. But God forbid now you are in such a situation. What will you do? Say, no, we are bought with a price. We'll just curtail the flesh. It's not about curtailing the flesh. You are married. Are you people getting on trying to explain? You are married. Such a woman, probably the kind of man going to give her is a semi-eunuch. A semi-eunuch. The one that just once in 3 years. The people are the, hey, you people want it every day? I'm amazed. Glory carriers. You carry glory. You want. Can you imagine? What kind of a people am I raising? I thought you should be proud of what I'm saying and say, yes, yes, Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, God never allowed a man to determine. And I'm speaking to somebody, I don't know how to divert. Before you make a choice of who to marry, forget all these physical looks yet. Focus, hear God. Then when you hear God, you understand. When you get married to a woman, you understand what... How many of you remember the characteristics of metal? Can you remember them? There's one, malleability. Metal is malleable. It can be turned into any shape. When you marry your wife, you can make her, she's malleable. You can turn her into any shape you want to turn her. By exercise. And I've been advising ladies, especially in this church, they are doing exercise. You say you want to pray in tongues and be the next Catherine Kuma. No problem. We will not be the ones to tell you not to be the next Catherine Kuma. But when you are done praying, go and do exercise. Because some of you, where we are going to, we don't know. Don't just be matter. Anything that has weight and occupies space. Be definite. Have magnitude and direction. You can't use spirituality to cover laziness. The type that will marry and just tie up and put pots in the front of the house. I'm scratching the pots. Indomie. Rice. I'm be wondering why their husband don't like coming home. And sir, pastor, when can I come and see you? I have a complaint. Since I married this man, you know they come out so. Now only in the night they come out. So that he will come and see you, Juju. Love the gym. Wake up in the morning, walk. Jog. Bend. See how they're looking at me. If they leave their nanos, the pastor is not entirely spiritual, we would think. Now you sabi. Because when they teach us as pastors in conferences, they tell us, marry God's will for your life. Don't allow the devil, blah, blah, blah. Don't follow anything physical. We are not following. Then we will marry you now. You too, you say, because they say we should not follow physical. You just want to remain matter. No. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They are not carnal. And young men too, it's not carnal to do exercise. Before I continue. It's not carnal. The Bible says, building up your most holy faith. Build up your parks too. Except you are in a fivefold, you should not have time for those things. Build up your paths. Me, I'm already laboring in the word and doctrine. But for you, build up your paths. Have time. Go to the gym. It's not carnal. The only one that is carnal is BBL. That's rubbish. Are you all listening to me? Are you getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
There are some men that are in this place. If you say do 5 press up, they cannot do 5. 5. You are unhealthy. Entirely unhealthy. Remember, we used to clean church at the front here. That will call pastors. In fact, sometimes pastors used to trash. Some of them, they will say, do 20. 12. There was one that couldn't do 5. Not a pastor. I can't remember that guy. I had to force him to do 10. And 9. Pastor, what to force? Do it! This pastor will die. Do it! Some, let me say some of this. Some don't even know how to kick ball. If they play ball for them, if they kick it like this, it will go to that side. Some people in this church, sitting in this church. Some don't, cannot run from here. If they run to that fence, you know, we're playing football one time, somebody fell and died. So when we check, he has not trained for, who told you to come and play ball? He was just running, following the ball. So the guy that was going with him just stopped. He just fell. So everybody was trying to press him. They were looking for all that before he just gave up. I know some of you say, hey, now I saw football, they kill people. It's not football that killed him. He was not doing exercise. And he just came all of a sudden to do everything at the same time. And he could not. So exercise is very important. Are we together? But the focal point is, let God choose your spouse for you. Are you listening to me? Trust in the Lord. Lean not your own sense. Lean not your own sense. Trust in the Lord. Lean. You know, people can be manipulative, but you cannot know. Only God knows. Somebody may be manipulative. There are some of you now that men, you think you want to marry. They have done witchcraft for you to marry. The ladies have sit down and projected you to come and scope them. You don't know some ladies, they will command you. They'll act in ways that you will not know when you say, I love you. They will not say, Sebi, I said he will come. They'll be telling their friends. You don't know ladies, can you people do that? Yes or no? You've heard it from their mouths. Are you not amazed? You thought I was just joking, right? They have a way. I've seen dreams, they'll be laughing because they know you did not see any dream. What did I tell you about dream? Much activities in the day, condensation in the night, the dream. Because of the things that have clouded your mind by day. Choose rightly, else you cannot fulfill dominion mandate. Are we together? So let's continue. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, confirming his supremacy now and putting all things in subjection to man. He left nothing outside of his control. But at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Next part of scripture, verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels. Now they are comparing Jesus with our lives. Are you understanding this?
Yes,
Remember 7? For a little while lower than. Hit 7 fast. For a little while lower than. For a little while lower than. Then Asa, he left nothing of man's. Nothing on. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, confirming his supremacy. Now, in putting all things in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. He said, but at present, we do not yet see all things. But we see Jesus. Next part of scripture. We see Jesus. We don't see all things subjected yet, but we see Jesus. He's comparing Jesus with us now. Who was made lower than the angels for a little while too? You see that? How? By taking on the limitation of what? Humanity. Crowned with what? Is that not the same thing they said about us? And what? Because of his word? So that by the grace of God extended to sinners, he might experience death for the sins of everyone. You see that? We may not see all things subjected, but look to Jesus. At a point in his life, all things were not subjected. But at the end, everything became subjected. Look to Jesus. He's your standard for living. And the Bible said after the sufferings of death, that is when he now had the authority to subject all things. Now he died for everyone. He died for us. We don't see Jesus before crucifixion. We see Jesus after crucifixion. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? We see Jesus, the crucified Christ. We see him on the cross. We see Jesus after resurrection. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. That's our standard. He's our standard. And the Bible says, learn from Jesus. At a point, because of the humanity he took, because of our sins, what happened? He was subjected. All of a sudden, at his death, burial, and resurrection, he had glory and all power and all authority. The Bible says you may not see everything, but now learn from Jesus. Now, how many of you died with Christ? How many of you were buried with Christ? How many of you resurrected with Christ? All things are under your control. Meaning at the understanding of the cross, we should make sure everything is subjected to us. If it is not subjected yet, the Bible is saying you don't understand the cross. You don't understand the suffering of Jesus. But if you understood the suffering of Jesus, Romans, for instance, 6. Let's read from verse 5. Romans 6 from verse 5. Are you here? Are you here? Very fast, church, want to go. For if we become one with him, permanently united in the likeness of his death, we will also certainly be one with him and share fully in the likeness of his resurrection. You see that? Give me the TBT rendition. I will fly with that. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience what? A resurrection like his, and the new life that it imparts. Say, I have this new life. Next part of scripture. He says, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now forever deprived of his power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Are you here? You see that? Everything is under our control because of the suffering of Jesus and the glory that follows. Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. We'll all read together. One to go. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. You died with Christ? Say hi if you died with Christ. Just wave your hands. Say hallelujah. Say I'm incapable of sinning. I'm incapable of sinning. Colossians 3 and 1. Before we continue with verse 8, I always like to compare. It says, Colossians 3, TPT rendition. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. You are so dull for my liking. I don't think you understand what we are talking about. It says, this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. Yearn for all. Not some. Tell somebody all. All that's above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Next part of scripture. It then says, Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. And not with the distractions of this natural realm. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. This is what we need to control life. He left nothing. Now, this is the provision that will cause us to walk in dominion. Remember the teaching I did, tools for dominion. When you understand what Jesus has done with those things, in fellowship, in prayer, what will you do? You have everything it takes to control life. So no, my father will not die in the name of Jesus. Bring it back to normal. No, in the name of Jesus, my business must grow. Hallelujah. You are controlling life. You think God is the one doing it? He said it is finished. It's time for you to take over. Nobody dies in my home in the name of Jesus. Pastor Simon, how will it not happen? Just confess it. It was said about Jesus, none of his bones were broken. Nobody said how it will happen. But the soldier said, I think we should just leave him. Let's not break his bone. Against culture, the culture entails that every dead person's bone should be broken. But because it was said, words have been sent for Jesus. Prophecy has been made. Now the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. My life goes in the direction of Jesus. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega of my life. My life revolves around the realities of Jesus. My experience 100% is Jesus. Outside Jesus, I have no experience. And the soldier said, allow him. He felt like he pitied Jesus. He was fulfilling prophecy. That's how the spirit of favor works. You must prophesy first. You must prophesy first. If the Bible says favor is encamped around the righteous as a canopy, it doesn't mean it's just static like that. Something triggers it. What's that trigger? Prophecy. Speaking good words. Speaking wonderful words. I think 1 Peter 3 and 8. Let's see it in the TBT rendition. Before we come back here. I think so. 1 Peter 3 and 8. 1 Peter 3 and 8. I want everybody to read. I hope we got it right. Now, this is a goal. Am I in the right place? Next part of scripture. Am I in the right place? Next part of scripture. I hope so. Just look for that scripture for me. I think it's around here. It says, if a man desires to live a good life, let him restrain his tongue from evil. Not James, Peter. Write it the way I just said it. It says, if a man desires to live a glorious life, a good life, let him refrain his tongue from evil. What's that? First Peter what? For he... I'm over in the right place. TBT rendition. For the scripture tells us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day, next part of scripture, must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, and never deceive in what they say. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. Now give me the KJV rendition. From verse 10. Let's read together. For he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from what? If you want to see favorable days, good days in your life, don't speak wrong words. I showed you in the book of Ezekiel what happened. They said, our own is finished. We are dry. Then what happened? God took Ezekiel in the realm of the spirit. He saw a valley of dry bones. And God said, what brought this? What made this a reality? The words of Israel. He said, the dry bones are the house of Israel. And their words that they were saying, my own is finished, oh, we are dead, oh. That's what caused that. I'm bringing high to sign in our present day. They said, we are finished, we are dry. It happened to them. Favor, it surrounds me as a shield. Sing songs like that. Confess the word of God. Go out there, be expectant. It happens. Even if you have, you know, most times you people don't know that if you prophesy, the first thing that will come is not the manifestation of a prophecy. Most times, Satan will send challenges first to be sure you know what you are saying. Now, who can imagine that in a whole city, a savior was born for Israel, Moses. And all of a sudden, the government will give an order that all male children should be killed. In the physical, it looks like that's a bad government. But in the supernatural, Satan was moving. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Same for Jesus. At the birth of Jesus, Satan, again, kill all the... What happened? God told Joseph, leave the city. You see that? Because of one person, see that kind of trouble. Could it be that because of that riches? How many of you have seen visions where you own oil wells? Have you seen anything like that before? Have you seen any vision where you were? I know if you are not the kind of person that should see the vision, I will know. If you have not been coming to church for all your distance, if you raise your hand now, I'll slap you. If you have been seeing vision where you are in charge of many, many people, raise your hand, let me see. You see, they are reducing their hand now. No, but let's be serious now. You have seen visions where you were in charge of money and people. Now that I said it, is it not now that you remember the vision? For some of you. Don't lie. You say, hey, I remember. Oh. Did you confess it after that time? Immediately, you say, oh, thank you, Lord, what I saw. I don't know if I woke up and said, ah, it's just a dream. I hope you know what made Solomon the richest man is a dream. He had a vision. And in the vision, God spoke to him. When he finished from the vision, he did not say, ah, I just dream. Mm-mm. He continued. I'm sure, imagine Solomon was your roommate. If you're a believer or unbeliever, you know those people now. Believing unbelievers. That when their friends say, I have the gold of mine, people they confess. This is a yet person they confess. Now you good won't be yours. You know those kind of crazy roommates. Imagine Solomon wakes up and says, God said I'll be the richest. And Solomon is your roommate. And you know how Solomon can eat and behave. How he likes food. And Solomon, God say, I am the richest. You know his background. God say, in this whole city, nobody will be rich like me. God say, few. God said it. I've heard, I beg, bye bye. They will not encourage you. How many friends will say, okay, I believe in you, let's pray for 1 hour. It's a lie. Oh. Everybody is focusing on their dream and their pursuit. But Solomon continued. All of a sudden, he became the richest. Sometimes God will give you a dream to see what you can do. The dream that brought Israel out of captivity in the time of Daniel, many people had that same vision. But Daniel, when he had the vision, he went into research. Bible says he understood by books. Meaning he didn't just stop there. He carried books to understand the meaning of the vision he had. When he got the meaning, it was through him God removed Israel from captivity again. You see that? Hallelujah to Jesus. It was still Daniel that said God sought for a man that would stand in the gap. Are you listening tonight? And if you become that man that will stand in the gap, there are things that you must overcome. I'm not talking about overcoming by your own power. You have all it takes already to overcome. Like Paul, he said, I can do now all things. Many years ago, Pastor Chris was sharing and he said, I remember. He said, as a minister of the gospel especially, your bridges must be burnt. There's no going back for some kind of things. Do you understand? You know, if I talk to you now, you understand. It is very difficult for God to pick a man and use a man. Because not everybody can avail themselves completely to God. How many times have we seen people even in church marry who they want to marry? Not who God wants them to marry. God cannot use you. You must avail yourself fully for God to be able to use you. How many times can you have you submitted to leadership? Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Your bridges must be burned for God to use you. Bible says in a great house are what? Several vessels of clay, of what? And etc. It says if you purge yourself from the former, you become a vessel profitable for the master's use. God loves everybody, but he cannot use everybody. Are you here tonight? Last point, prayer. I was saying it at the tail of the first service. Prayer is a common denominator for manifestation through the Old and the New Testament. Else, everything you know will just end in your head. And I was being sincere to tell you people that sometimes the reason why, a lot of times and majorly, the reason why the New Creation Movement message is dying or is not looking like it's growing, I will not say it's dying, is because most of the people have knowledge life more than prayer life. They know so much they can't pray. They forget it for the fundamentals. You see them just boast with knowledge, and when you talk about prayer, in fact they are trying to make prayer look like an old thing. Somebody will tell you that in the New Testament we don't pray the way they pray in the Old Testament. The only difference in the New Testament and Old Testament prayer is the format of prayer. We don't pray with their choice of words. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Because we know Jesus has done it in the New Testament. He will not do it in the New Testament. He has done it. There's something I said yesterday on my profile on Facebook. I said, prayer is not what we use to kill or destroy the devil. No. Prayer has nothing to do with the devil. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Prayer is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Becoming one with the Word of God. It has no business with the devil. What I'm trying to say is what James said. He said, submit to the Lord. Resist the devil. He what? Flees from you. Kenneth Hagin explained this thing better in his book. He says, submitting to God is by default resisting the devil. He says, submitting to God is by default what? Resisting the devil. Because when you become light, darkness will run by default. Are you people get out? I'm trying to explain to you. That is submit to God, then you turn to the devil. Get out, get out. Mm-mm. Submitting to God is by default resisting the devil. He will flee from you by default. I can't remember how he said it completely, but he said all of the words there are more like compound words. You see, like three words in that part of scripture that meant one word in Greek, because Greek and Hebrew are picture languages. So to submit to God is resisting the devil by default. He will flee from you. Are you all listening to me tonight? Submit to God. Like I said again in the first service, I said stopping sin is not by, you know, I don't want to sin today, I will not sin again. Mm-mm. Understand what Jesus has done, and by default sin will be gone. Remember, by the knowledge of his great and precious promises, we have become what? And by default have escaped what? So knowledge of his great and precious promises made us to become partakers or sharers of his divine nature. And next thing, the consequence is that what? We then escape the corruption in the world through loss. What is natural to people is not natural to us, like escape velocity. It's not natural to us. We have escaped. They say anything that goes up must come down, but a plane not flying today. Are they coming down? There's a system in plane that is making sure it keeps on flying. The law of the spirit of life in Christ. It has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. I live by a higher and another law. And that has given me dominion over everything physical. Say amen. So he left nothing under man's control. He said, look at Jesus, learn from him, see that he took upon himself our nature, was subjected, but by the reason of the cross, he became superior over everything again. So therefore for you, see that At sundry times you were subjected, but Jesus came for you, was dead for you, buried for you, resurrected for you. Now on the strength of what Jesus has done for you, understand too that everything is under your feet. Everything is what? Under your feet. So in the name of Jesus, cancer be gone. In the name of Jesus, ulcer be gone. In the name of Jesus, pain, get out from my body. In the name of Jesus, get out from my joint. In the name, that's how you talk. You know, use your faith. If you don't use it for small things, you cannot do big things. You don't graduate from healing yourself from malaria to removing withered hands from people. You start from somewhere. If your faith cannot heal headache, it will not heal ulcer. If you cannot heal ulcer, it's not heal cancer. Because when they mention the problem for you, your head will become big if you are not careful. Imagine you go somewhere and they say the person has 4 hours to live. But we trust on the grace of God on your life. And you just start remembering all the times you prayed for yourself and it didn't work. The devil will be taking all the pictures. You know, you may start explaining some doctrines for them. They say, see, listen, it may not work. But start using your faith now. Tell somebody, start using your faith now. You feel pain, tell it to go away. That ulcer you are managing, tell it to go. Let's fast. Say, no, I have ulcer. Tell it to go. Are you listening to me? The joint pain, tell it to go. Pain on your hands. Who has pain on his hands? Here. Anybody? Pain on your hands? Where? What part of your hands? Just touch it. What's that? What happened? Just like that, Father, in the name of Jesus, let it go. And so it is in the name of Jesus. Pain on your head, let it go. Your eyes, you can't see blurry vision. Who is that? Blurry visions. Blurry vision, come. See somebody scratching his eye. I see another person. You're scratching your eyes. Scratching eyes. Who is that? Someone I'm seeing like that. Who is the person scratching? Lay your hands on your eyes. I know sometimes you can be used to these things. You are so used to them. I'm sensing somebody around there. Are you doubting? You scratch your eyes very well. So what? You like it? You think it will go? But I came here and you know my spirit was saying here. Well, why are you doubting? Stand up and lay your hands on your eyes. But if you like it, you can sit down. If you have strong faith, why is it not God's sins? So lay your hands on your eyes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let it be gone. Go in the name of Jesus. Let it be gone. 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 Look at me. I see some sharp pain sometimes in your stomach. Huh? Where? I want to show you God know he's talking to you. If you think I'm predicting, come and call somebody and say anything. I want to show you God knows that it was you I was talking to. So touch the place. Touch the pain. Touch. Keep your. Put it on your eyes. So you see, it's not a coincidence. Put this one on your eyes. Close your eyes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare in the name of Jesus that the sharp pain in the stomach is gone. And the pains in the eyes, the scratches, they are gone in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Is that easy? You can sit down. Hallelujah. So you have authority. Did you hear me? You have authority. I feel like praying for everybody with ulcer. If you have ulcer, stand up and lay your hands on your stomach. Everybody with ulcer. One of your hands up and one of your hands on your stomach. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare that everything ulcer in their system this very moment is gone completely. In the name of the risen Jesus, I declare it's gone completely right now. Ulcer, dismantle that spirit of infirmity out from your life, out from your system. Your system now, I declare it perfect. Every wound repaired in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. Let's be seated and celebrate Jesus. Give him all the praise.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.